Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jim Duquette, pre-post, host MLB Network Radio field level yesterday ahead of Nats Brewers and after what was maybe the most legendary swing and win in Nats history. They're moving on to the division series to take on the Dodgers. And Jim Duquette, the former GM of the Orioles and the Mets, joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Jim, did you think the Nats were going to come back and win at any point, kind of middle-late innings, or did it feel to you like one run, three hits, this is a demoralizing setback and the Brewers are rolling and you ran into a buzzsaw?
I would say, first off, good to see you guys there in the field, we were there too. I was surprised that they were able to do it off of Hader. And I know Josh has been not as good as he was last year, but he's still for me, if you were to rank top closers out there in the game for the season and even in the postseason, it's probably he and Chapman are the two that you'd want to see on the mound closing out games because of their track record, dominating stuff, everything else. So when he came in the eighth, I wasn't feeling real good about the comeback. I mean, how many times have we seen, you guys have seen it more than me, but I've seen a ton of Nats games. You're like, man, they've won a lot of games late. You knew at some point he was going to have to navigate through the difficult part of the lineup. So you always held out a little bit of hope, but I would say it was a little unconventional how they did it, right? I mean, but it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. That was a tremendous, tremendous comeback against one of the best guys, one of the best pitchers, not just closers, one of the best pitchers in baseball.
So the call there that kind of gets this whole thing started is the hit by pitch on Michael Taylor. And right. And Jim, I've watched the replay 1,000 times. I have no idea. I can't definitively say one way or the other. I think whichever way it was called, it probably would have stayed that way. But I imagine if it went against the Nationals, I'd be furious. But if I'm a Brewers fan, I'm probably furious. What were your thoughts?
No, I'm with you on that. Like, it's one of those calls that happens during the game, you know, that whatever the call is, it's on the field. It's like you can't. It's like, you know, not enough evidence to overturn it. It could have gone either way. If they had said foul ball, I think you could have had an equal argument to say, yeah, it was. You know, it hit both. It hit the bat in the hand, and okay, we got to stay with it. You know, and we get those calls occasionally. It's frustrating to watch as a fan. He's like, come on, that, you know, inconclusive doesn't seem like a great answer when you're looking at instant replay, but I mean, you saw that and you said it, Danny. I'd say I felt the same, like, god, I can't tell, you know. It looks like it was both, you know, and luckily, you know, the reaction, you know, it hit, you know, I think that's a lot of it too, and you react like it hits you. You know, the umpires a lot of times will go in that direction too. But critical, that, you know, that was obviously very critical to get him on. But then I thought Zimmerman's at bat too was amazing, you know, for him to do it. And Rendon's, you know, it doesn't get mentioned as much, but Rendon's at bat too. All four of those at bats were just huge in the eighth.
What did you think of Davey Martinez last night? Everything he did worked. I don't know if that means that he made all the right decisions or not, but it certainly looked that way after the fact.
Yeah, you know, just because, you know, it's been a little roller coaster ride in some of his moves over the course of the year, he gets viewed with a different lens and you know, maybe overly critical. I felt like, though, at the beginning, and we were talking about this in the pregame, if anyone other than the, you know, five guys were going to pitch in last night's game, it was going to be a problem, right? So if Strasburg, you know, after Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, Doolittle, maybe, and Hudson, if anyone else pitched in that, you know, in a tight game, then it was not going to be a good night. So I thought Davey did a really good job. The one hairy point in my mind was the fifth. Like, if Scherzer didn't get through the fifth, where is he going to go? He had already said Stras wasn't coming in. in the middle of an inning. So if he went to Hudson there, right, you think that play that out. Hudson comes in that game, in that spot, and he gets out of it. And now you burned him. You don't have him for the ninth. How would that ninth played a little differently? Those are all the ones that I was kind of curious how that was going to go.
Longtime GM Jim Duquette joins us here on Grant and Danny at Jim_Duquette on Twitter. Hey, Jim, they play tomorrow night. I'm kind of like not ready for that. I'm still trying to revel in last night, but it gets going right away here. Pitching rotation-wise, Corbin game one, we know. What are you expecting the Dodgers to do? That's kind of point one here. Point two, what about Friday? Where do you see the Nationals going here? Is it Sanchez or is it short rest maybe for Strasburg? It sounds like we actually just lost Jim Duquette right there. My question was so good, it knocked him right off the phone line.
He didn't want to answer it.
Too profound.
Because he said,
"That happens,
Danny, you've challenged me. Challenge fastball up and in. I can't possibly abide.
I can't answer that
spun
kind of
away
question.
And fell in the batter's box like Victor Robles.
We asked the tough questions here on Grant and Danny, right? I'm Bryant Gumbel taking off my glasses.
Now, who would you start in that game?
Baseball.
I can't do my high-pitched Bryant Gumbel question because I don't have a voice.
Baseball. Dinosaur kind of tactic. Antiquated.
You were on record, though, as saying you'd go Strauss game two.
Steven Strasburg.
Yeah.
Hey, here's the ball.
I would as well. Let's see what Duke thinks. The question, Duke, sorry about that, was as far as game two goes, Strasburg threw 34 pitches. Do you think he'd be able to throw on Friday, or do they wait, go Anibal Sanchez, and then maybe either he or Scherzer doesn't get to pitch until game four?
I got to go with Strasburg. I think he can do it. I don't think that's an abnormal amount of pitches. I mean, he was filthy, dominant. I was really impressed how he handled that role. I wasn't sure how that was going to look. Outside of that first pitch, right? He gives up the hit to Braun. Other than that, man, he was fantastic. So I don't think in the end it may cost him an extra inning later, but I think with the adrenaline and the stuff and the way he's pitched in the postseason, I don't think there's any other answer but to have Strasburg pitch there. I just don't want to go into this series. You could be, in big trouble if say Corbin, who's been, as you guys know, been really good against the Dodgers, and he loses game one, and then you got Sanchez for game two. I'm not liking their chances, so I got to line up Strasburg, and then you can line up a bunch of relievers after that with the off day, coming on Saturday.
Jim Duquette ran the Orioles and the Mets, former GM on G&D. What kind of chance do you give him against the Dodgers?
I give him a good chance. The Nats are a dangerous team, and I felt like if they could get through that first round and playing a little bit, I don't want to say with house money because I still feel like it's a team that they're built to win now, and these are opportunities that you don't want to squander. But I think they have a real good chance. Dodgers are good. They haven't had a meaningful game in a month and a half maybe. They have some question marks. As good as they've been, they every team has question marks. Their question marks are in the bullpen as well. I know people wonder a little bit about the rotation. I don't have those same concerns. I think the biggest question is in the middle and back end of the bullpen, especially the back end with Kenley Jansen, how they're going to handle that closer's role, what starter's going to go into that spot. So I think there are similar questions that you have with the Nats also, and that's what's fascinating about it. They're very well. In terms of the roster, the depth, they're very similar in that sense. They have very good. Both teams have very good offenses. Starting pitching, you saw the matchup this season too. They're very evenly matched during the course of the year too. So, of all of the teams outside of the Astros, Yankees, and Dodgers, I think the Nats have the next best chance of getting to the World Series. That's how much of a threat the Nats are.
Mm. Jim, thank you, buddy. Appreciate the content, man. Good to see you last
night.
You
got it, guys. Anytime. Yeah, good to see you. We'll see you soon.
Bye. Be well. There's Jim Duquette on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Let's do this next. 800-636-1067 is the number. We've gone steady with calls all show for now 3 hours and 15 minutes. So let's not let them die down now. We'll keep it rolling with you guys on the phones, 800-636-1067. Next angle to throw out there, our next kind of table to set for a convo we can have, don't forget about. Fill in that blank. Do not forget about something we often do after big Redskins wins. What shouldn't be forgotten? Something maybe not getting talked about enough about yesterday that you want to remind us about so we can delve into it? Brent and Danny on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Two-run single turned into a three-run double, basically, on an error as he got thrown out on base.
Number of things you could pick from here, obviously. When you win a game like that, it's the little things. So you mentioned Strasburg, but Kurt Suzuki, a couple great blocks of the ball to not allow a run to score on a pass ball. A couple nice defensive plays could come to mind, certainly. That ball, by the way, that was hit to center field that Robles caught, that was not routine. He made it look routine because he's amazing in center field. That was a line drive missile that never got all that high. He was playing deep, obviously, no doubles type situation there. You don't want a runner to score on one hit, make him earn a couple there. But that is not an easy play. He cruised back and made it easy. I can go to Max Scherzer overcoming Juan Soto, butchering a ball in the outfield. Soto, by the way, having a terrible game until he did what he did.
He was.
You know? So that fly ball carried out there.
I think that's where I would start, honestly. Max gives up the two-run homer on pitch seven and then gives up the solo homer on, I thought, which was not a terrible pitch, by the way.
No.
Like a breaking ball low that was fisted over the wall by a guy who's just one big muscle.
That's one of the strongest dudes alive.
And he hit a home run on a pitch he shouldn't have been able to. I won't even say that was a big mistake by Scherzer. But he was down 3-0 really early in the second, and Davey Martinez stuck with him. He got out of the second. Then he pitches the third, the fourth, the fifth, and he talked after the game about having to gut it out after the slow start.
I felt great, man. The ball is really jumping out of my hand. Just ran a couple bad pitches. But that's how close it can be. But man, it doesn't matter. Just find a way to keep grinding. Kept it from getting out of control. Avoid a big inning. And then Strauss came in, did his thing. Shut the door three times. And then how do you shut the door to win it?
After the game, Scherzer screaming, "I love my team." Trey Turner, by the way, tweets after a lot of these big wins, big games. I just love my teammates, or I love my team, something like that. Don't forget about almost everyone used off the bench. Almost every pinch hitter got on base. Brian Dozier beat out a play, reached on an error.
And hit a ball sharp, too, by the way. He stung that thing.
Ryan Zimmerman fists a broken bat, base hit.
Didn't hit it as hard.
Duck snort into center field. Yeah, Dozier hit a rocket that was stabbed by Moustakas. Michael Taylor worked a great at bat, full count. Got quote-unquote hit by a pitch, whether it hit him, the knob, both at the same time. Worked out in the Nats' favor. But Dozier coming off the bench because as Drubal Cabrera, who had a quiet game, had an unbelievable September and maybe was the MVP of the team over the final 5 weeks after being signed off the scrap heap after the game on Masson.
I think it's kind of the same thing we've done all year, fight back. Stay in the fight, that's kind of our motto. And we did that. Juan came up with a huge hit. Strasburg threw the heck out of the ball. Let's go to L.A., baby.
He played for L.A. last year in the playoffs. He was with the Dodgers, so he knows about Chavez Ravine. I just love him. His accent. I love he's a cool guy. He's the life of the party. I dig Dozier.
You know what I forgot, by the way, was that Howie Kendrick was on that Dodgers team that beat the Nationals a couple years ago. I'd completely forgotten about that, and then I was sort of looking up some of the past ghosts, et cetera. He had a huge base hit late in that game for L.A., so that'll be nice.
He mentioned stay in the fight. I might lose you here for a second, but I want to ask you this, and we'll get back to the calls in a minute here at 800-636-1067. I am really anti-catchphrase like you are.
Mm-hmm.
I hate slogans, right? So like the old Natitude thing, to me, was like eye-rolling, maybe even cringeworthy. I mean, there are certain things that I hear him and I go, ugh. And your mantra is always, please just play the sport or please just win the game. And I don't go as hard against it as you do, but just generally speaking, like whatever you put on the towel, like hashtag our time or one fight or whatever it is, like that stuff means nothing to me. I just don't care about it. For some reason, I really, really like stay in the fight. I think it happened naturally, like Davey Martinez not having a voice after their comeback win against the Mets in the ninth inning when they came back from six down in the ninth was like screaming in the on-field interview with no voice, like, we got to stay in the fight. This team stays in the fight. And I think that's where it came from, stay in the fight. It is just so perfect for this group.
It fits them, yeah.
Their whole season, this is what he's been telling them behind the scenes, stay in the fight. Next day, stay in the fight. They put it on T-shirts, stay in the fight. It's kind of corny. Like, I hate being this guy, but I just think it's perfect for them, and I find myself really digging. I'll never hashtag ever like a saying, like HTTR or stay in the fight. Like, even when I'm in fan mode during a game, I'm never going to do that.
Yeah, it's not for me. It's for them, and that's...
Don't you think it's perfect, though, for this group?
They rally with it. And whatever it takes to get you together as a team the way this group is,
that's
fine.
What does Danny Rye think?
I think all those things are so dumb.
But am I on to something at all? Like, tell me stay in the fight isn't perfect for this group.
No, I'm saying it fits that group. So it's not for me to put on a T-shirt. It's for them to put on a T-shirt. They rally behind it. They like it. If it wasn't stay in the fight, it would be finish the round. It would be don't fight till the fighting's done. Whatever you want to put on a
it
mantra.
It would be like our time or why not us. Yeah, or like
everybody's always got one, right?
Yeah.
And whatever it takes for that locker room to be together and pull the rope in the same direction, do that. Just I'm not putting on a towel. I'm not hashtagging it at any point in time. It's not for me. It's for them. It's cool for them.
Let's get another batch of takes from you guys and some thoughts on what shouldn't be forgotten about from last night next as we get back to the phones. Grant and Danny, 3.5 hours strong on the Nats. We're going to finish up this final furlong with you, taking you up till 2. Guess what? They play again tomorrow as the division series starts. They are flying to L.A. as we speak. They took off, I was told, right around 10. So when we started, they should land in Los Angeles probably about an hour and a half from right now. You're locked into Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Net.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Good tweet from Chris here. He says, by the way, I've never heard you discuss Trey Turner's home run celebration in the dugout. We are the Titans, the Mighty Mighty Titans dance that he does. He says, your two favorite things, baseball and RTT. And he's right. It's pretty strong. Trey Turner's home run, don't forget about it, last night gave the Nats some hope.
Something, yeah.
Got them into the game, got the crowd a reason to think maybe they could battle back. Let's get to the phones. Doug's in La Plata on the Fan. Hey, Doug.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
So mine has got to be Rendon's walk. He is, with a full count, able to lay off of the high strike that through the first 8 innings a lot of people swung at, and I think even he struck out. So that would be my comment. I have a question for you as well. Everybody can see that this is such the team part of Nats 2019 is incredible. So the question is, do you think the same thing happens with Bryce Harper still on the team? Or does he say, that baby shark thing is that's a clown dance, or I'm not dancing in the dugout? Or is there a different dynamic with him not there?
Well, there's a different dynamic, but nobody loves choreographed celebration more than that guy. I mean, seriously, that's not me insulting him. I mean, think about, like, he gets a single and he's doing the Mom the Meatloaf, We Want It dance, Will Ferrell from Wedding Crashers. He's all in on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think he'd be all in. Now, I do think the clubhouse is way different without him. And it's not even anything by design that he changes it. You know, he's a Beatle, as I like to say.
Yeah.
He's Paul McCartney, and everything comes back to him, and there's more attention on him. So now he leaves, and you get your shine if you're Rendon, if you're Soto. It's a better clubhouse than it's ever been before. Is it because he's not there? I don't know. I don't think they could have had this clubhouse with him. I think they've got a lot more kind of normal, salt-of-the-earth, everyday guys that can go out and not be recognized when they're eating in Arlington, and I think that bodes well for teams. I really do. I hope it's not a shot against him because I don't think it's by design. As an example, I'm close with a guy who works for the Phillies, and he says Bryce has been the best teammate in the clubhouse. He's been great. They've been blown away by how awesome he's been off the field. So it's not necessarily a shot, but it is just what it is. He is.
You're a star. Everyone notices you.
He's LeBron. You know, he's cover of SI at 16. He walks into a room and everyone goes, "Oh my gosh, there's Bryce Harper."
There's the bullpen where Eric Arnold is sitting right now. If Tom Cruise was sitting there, people would pay attention.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he did anything wrong, but that's Tom Cruise, dude. Yeah. You're gonna look. You can't. That's the way Bryce is.
So yeah, this is a better clubhouse. We noticed it at spring training. We talked about it at spring training. It was this. Really the theme of our 3 days down there in Florida, and it's carried through the whole year. Mary in Annandale, how are you?
Hi there, doing great, and thank you so much for the chance to relive last night, because you can't find enough people awake, you know, to talk after you get home from a game like that, as if you could talk. But, no, it's just about the crowd staying with it. I felt heartsick after the first two innings and just trying to get up the energy to keep cheering and all this jazz, but you felt responsible. You know, I mean, the guys are a family. We feel like part of their family, and you just don't want to let them down.
I like that. That's a good way to put it, honestly. You know, it's like, it's that, I'm telling you,
there's a romanticism. Well,
yeah, when my team loses, when the Capitals have lost in the past, when the Redskins lose, when the Wizards have lost, and that's happened plenty. It's me, right? I think about me and my fandom and my thing and me. I'm telling you, it started in 2012 where we had the fortune of kind of getting to know some of these guys, and they're so accessible. And in general, fans feel like they're closer to them maybe than they would be a lot of these other teams. It's the first time when Drew Storen blew that save, I thought about Drew Storen before I thought about myself. And I was sad for him before I was even... I'm mad that my team lost again. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how I feel. I think that exists for a lot of fans.
Let's go to Tom in Springfield, who's got something we shouldn't forget about. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call and for all the wall-to-wall coverage yesterday and today. It's been really great.
Yeah, buddy.
I know you guys touched on it a bit, but I just want to recognize what a pro Michael A. Taylor is for that at-bat. Everybody's distracted by the controversy over the hit by pitch, but they're forgetting that Taylor really worked that count against Hader. And, you know, people in the stands around me were groaning when he was announced as a pinch hitter because he's gotten a bad rap the last couple of years. And I kind of pinned that on Davey mismanaging him because he's had a rough couple of years. But thinking back to 2017, I was like, don't you guys remember 2017 when he led the team in hits and single-handedly, you know, save the team's playoff chances in game four and then came through again in game five.
He's come through a bunch in the playoffs. Now, 17's kind of the mirage because with or without Davey, he's been like a 220-something career hitter with like a 35% strikeout rate. So for me at this point, he's had a lot of ops and he kind of is what he is. Here's what I know, though. He's been the kind of guy, for whatever reason in the playoffs, that has come through. And he did again last night. And maybe you could say it was fortuitous and it was lucky and the call could have gone the other way. There was not enough to reverse that. So I'm with Jim Duquette. If they would have called that a dead ball, foul ball at home plate, he's coming back. And do I think he might have struck out on the next pitch? Very possibly. Josh Hader throws 96.
He strikes at everybody.
Good luck. And you're a high-volume K guy. But he's on first. He did work a great at-bat. That inning was rolling. And then it was Ryan Zimmerman time two batters later for Adam Eaton, which was another perfectly touched button. Eaton's been very hot. Eaton very rarely gets pulled out of games. Eaton's playing really good defense in right field late in the season. And for a lot of reasons, you don't necessarily go away from him. Andrew Stevenson is a pinch runner. Another thing you could bring up, his speed may have led to Trent Grisham charging that ball with a little more urgency and trying to rush to try to make a play that wasn't going to be there.
Right. So, and again, that's roster construction. Again, tip of the cap, Davey, Rizzo and company. If Ryan Zimmerman's running there, you got a great shot at hosing him at the plate. Stevenson crack of the bat is... great jump on
that
ball. I had that's the cool part about sitting in the press box. I had a perfect view of that. If Grisham had come up and it hadn't taken a weird hop and gotten it as he had planned on that kind of short hop and come up throwing, Stevenson still would have beat it. He was flying.
Yeah, and it's Grisham in the moment. It's real hard to tell yourself that.
Oh,
right?
Of course.
But I'm with you. I think he would have easily had him. But the send from Henley, and I could say the same about Charlie Sloz's call, that play's happened a million times. That's a base hit to right. It's a two-run single. We're stopping Rendon at third, and it's now first and third with two outs and a tie game. It's a tough call for Charlie because you got to be watching the play, and he calls it beautifully. Gets by him. Here comes Rendon. He's not launching into a two-run hit to tie the game. Same with Henley. If you're just programmed like a robot there to hit the stop sign, let's play this safe, two runs are in, he was watching like a hawk. He gave him the go-ahead really before Rendon even got to third. It was a great send by a guy who's had plenty that didn't work out this year. Garrick in Norfolk, you're on the Fan.
Hey guys. Well, one trip up to the game and back. Got back at 4:30, went to work at 9, but I'm running on fumes, but man, I'm pumped. Two quick ones for you. One, you had to be at the game for this one. You guys touched on a little bit the PA system. We were down, 3-0, maybe 3-1 at the time, and usually that PA system is what's going to keep the crowd going. Crowd didn't need it. Did not need it. And then the other one, struggling working the counts at the beginning of the game, seeing those guys really work the counts against Hader. You can almost go back to the Suzuki one in the bottom of the sixth against Pomeranz. Really working those counts really just cannot go unsaid and not talked about. But cannot do that against the Dodgers. Can't be swinging at the third pitch.
No.
Got to be working those counts. Got to work the pitches against Kershaw.
It's what they've done all year, and it's what they're built to do. It's the personnel. We talked about the clubhouse and how good it is. Part of that is how veteran they are. They're the oldest team, position player-wise, in baseball. You bring in guys like Dozier and Asdrubal Cabrera and Anibal Sanchez and Fernando Rodney, who's 42. And you bring in, Kurt Suzuki is 35 and Gomes is in his 30s and Zimmerman's in his mid-30s. And Howie Kendrick's 35. Slow heartbeats, what Davey Martinez would say. I would say season, been around. But those guys spit on pitches. And even, Juan Soto at 20. Now, last night, he had about as bad a game at the plate and in the field, maybe, until that final at bat as I've seen. But if you go back, Dar just retweeted Drabby from this morning. The Soto shuffle on the pitch before he had the hit was the first time I turn around and I go, he's locked in. The first time all night he took a pitch and kind of felt like Juan Soto. He stares out. I'll retweet it right now. He stares out on the Soto shuffle, top of the box to Josh Hader, who's looking into the dugout. He grabs his junk and just kind of looks at him. And he goes, let's go, bro. Let's ride. And Juan Soto right then and there was doing the Soto. It's him.
He was in the Soto.
And Grandal was in his head already earlier in the game trying to go back and forth with him. But right then, Juan Soto was locked in. Next pitch, he's a hero.
Question on Suzuki, by the way. I was there. I still can't believe that ball that he drilled to left center field didn't go out.
Dude.
The homers that carried previously, another ball to left field that was a routine fly ball carried up against the wall that Soto didn't catch, that was gone. That was a home run.
I looked like a fool. I pride myself on my ability to read a ball off the bat. No one probably cares about this but me. I was so embarrassed. So he hit that ball. No exaggeration, I swear to you. I jump out of my seat, fist pump forward, let's go. And it died. I mean, it wasn't even close
to
a home run.
It died.
It like landed, might have even been in front of the track.
Ryan Braun and his broken calf jogged and kind of like half skipped and made a can of corn catch. I
couldn't believe
it. The sound was pure. It wasn't like he got it up near the handle. It wasn't an end of the bat thing. That was center cut. It was a fastball. He put a good swing on it. It had the thump. Everything was carrying. I go, they're on the board. They're not losing this game. Oh, my God, it's a routine flyout. Everything sucks.
One motion, jump out of my seat, fist pump, and scream, let's go. And then I have to be the guy, like I stood up for a pop-up, that I'm always staring at, like, you dummy.
You idiot.
And everyone's looking at me like, what were you so excited about? And I wanted to be like, trust me, 100 times out of 100, that's a home run.
No, you see, I go to a lot of baseball games. Yeah. And that one,
Who I saw later was, I'll tell you in a second, but one of our guys who's represents a bunch of the players and is around the team, and he said the same thing. He's like, how did that ball not go out? And I hadn't thought about it in four innings. I was like, dude, I got nothing for you. The freaking one-handed home run earlier – the jet stream, I guess, was to right.
Well, Grandal gets fooled on an off-speed pitch, reaches out there with one hand, has like the edge of the bat, and hit it 370 feet for a flat right up against the warning track. Ridiculous. The ball was flying last night, and that one didn't go? Unforgivable.
Grant and Danny 106.7 The Fan. One segment left with you guys. The Nationals are headed to the division series. There's no waiting. Game one against the Dodgers tomorrow night with Patrick Corbin.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Down the stretch we come on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Let's wrap this sucker up the way we've done it the whole day, going back and forth with you guys on the phones, a night that won't soon be forgotten. How good was that feeling walking out of the ballpark last night? You know, I was watching like hundreds of people streaming down the steps, basically, in the lobby, and here comes Danny waddling down those steps and headed out the door.
Just in a stunned disbelief, you know?
Your face was basically like you didn't think what was coming came, you know what I mean? Like,
pretty much, yeah. Everything about it. Just,
you were waiting for them to somehow take the game back from the Nationals.
Just the disbelief is the word, but you know you're too stunned to celebrate. I mean, honestly, and granted, I was also up in the press box, so I'm sitting there keeping everything contained, obviously. But just walking down the stairs, and a couple people were like, "Danny, can you believe it?" I'm sitting there going, "No, I frankly cannot believe it. I cannot believe what I just saw. Amazing, man."
You got another opportunity. You're going to get at least one more home game, Nats fans. Ideally, it would be so great if they come home having split with the Dodgers and now basically taking home field away from them. 1-1 series with game three at Nats Park on Sunday. Can you imagine, by the way, any situation that isn't the Nats being down 0-2? Sunday, we don't know what time the game is yet. It hadn't been determined. It's either going to be likely in the 4 o'clock hour or in the 8 o'clock hour, our time, here in the East Coast. The Redskins play at 1 against the Patriots.
Yep.
If it's at 4, you know, if it's at 8, there's going to be people double-dipping maybe, and you could do both, which would be an awesome D.C. sports day. Go see Tom Brady and the Pats take on the Redskins.
It's more of a sports day.
Sports day. That's what I said, a sports
more
day.
That is...
But you go to the football game, you tailgate a little bit, about 5:36, roll out of the parking lot, go over to Nats Park. If the game's at 4, though, at Nats Park, how many people are going to choose the Redskins over the Nats?
The Patriots fans in town.
I mean, seriously, can you imagine being Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen looking out at your seats while people are filing in 40,000 of their closest friends at Nationals Park? You're sitting the same fan base. Let's go to Roz in D.C. What's up, Roz?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got
it. So you're thinking it's bottom of the fifth. We don't know who's coming up. Robles is on first. We're seeing Zimmerman warming up. Dozier's standing there. Dozier comes up. We're all surprised. We're like, bad move. Nothing happens good in that inning. We go to the eighth. Michael Taylor comes up. The whole hit by pitch thing, boom. But then Zim comes up, and we're like, this is the time.
Right.
It's now. Hits the ball. The most important part of his at-bat, that bat blew. That bat, MVP. Hands down.
The broken bat. Yeah, they use Zim at the perfect time. That's why they waited. They wanted the highest leverage situation. Really what they were hoping for was he could hit a home run and tie the game. But they'll take a broken bat, Fister into center.
You certainly will.
And runners on the corners. Paul in Herndon, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great. What I wanted to point out that so many young children were at the ball game. I had about three little guys in my row. And one of the fellas made a little 8.5 by 11 crayon sign about Rendon. And on the back, he put also, "Let's go Nats." And his dad had brought him out, and they stayed the whole game. Had a
great
blast. It was really good seeing the young kids out there.
Yeah, great point. And yeah, you think that was good for building a fan base? I mean, we talk all the time about how few young Redskins fans there are. What are the memories? You know, what at FedEx, if you're 8 years old, or first of all, I don't know if I would take an 8-year-old to FedEx, to be completely honest.
I certainly wouldn't.
But if you do, like, what's the good time? My nephew went to his first game last year. I got him and my brother and his wife tickets. I really wanted my nephew to go see a game. He's like a 6-year-old football player and a flag football who I want him to be a Redskins fan. He doesn't care about the Redskins. So I said, let's go to the game. They went to the Redskins-Giants game in December. They lost whatever that was, 34-0 or something.
That was the Woodshed game, yeah.
And like, so this year I said, how many games are the Redskins going to win? I don't know about them. Maybe 5. Like, he doesn't care about them. I tried to create this memory. He went and they got shut out. You go last night as a kid with your mom or your dad to the Nats game, and Juan Soto gets that hit, and they're moving on in the playoffs. That's a way to build a fan base. Keith, VA, what's good?
Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that actually pulling Zimmerman back twice was probably a move that was hard for him to do, knowing that the game did not look so good, and Zimmerman being Mr. National, you know, probably wanting to get Zimmerman in the game, but actually holding him back twice was just an outstanding move by Martinez, who has not always made the right moves all year.
Absolutely. But playing chess, man.
That was an excellent move that just absolutely worked out to be perfect.
Yeah, that's one of those kind of next-level things, right? It's like a quarterback trying to get someone offsides with a snap count. When you've mastered everything, you can start to tinker with some of the nuances.
Yeah, it's the advanced-level stuff.
And I'm not saying Davey Martinez has, but that's next advanced graduate level kind of head games you're playing with another manager. Gainesville Rich, how are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. Great show. Happy day. I'm glad the Nats won with fortitude, which they've shown all season. And I know when your team plays against a team with fortitude, you never feel comfortable. You never feel safe. No lead is too big. It's never late enough in the game. And if I was a Dodgers fan, I would feel pissed and frustrated that you get to the point where your first round, you're supposed to be served a cupcake in the playoffs. And now they got to face this I-beam of battleship steel to chew through. That's the Nats' fortitude. Great show. See you guys.
Appreciate you, Brent.
Thank you. Thanks, Rich. A good call, and all the calls today were outstanding.
This is one of those fun shows.
Yeah, we like these.
File it under fun, please, Tommy, when you're handling it.
You don't get a lot of these, no. But when you get them, you got to enjoy them. A caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067. You're winning a copy of NBA 2K20. You can be the next NBA superstar on the best NBA video game of all time. NBA 2K20 is out on Xbox One, PS4, Nintendo Switch, PC, and coming soon to Stadia. Rated E for everyone, courtesy of Got Game. Details at thefandc.com/contest. The Nats play tomorrow. The Caps play tonight. 7 p.m. NBC Sports Washington. Your guys got pregame. So,
out of board. And now, our Washington.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.